Did streaming Tyler McGill cost Tuma a championship in one of his most important leagues? We will get to that and more in the Thursday, September 16th edition of Leading Off. Dan Harris, we need to go right into this.
No, we will not be talking about Tyler McGill or Mets, or I'll allow like three things in baseball. We can talk about Jesus Sanchez or whatever you want, because I know that's big for you, but there will be no Mets talk or you're about your leagues. Let's just go. I'm very upset. Actually, I'm changing it. Forget it. Let's go back for a second. The opposite right now is actually true, Tuma, where I live and die with the Mets. You know this. You live and die with the Reds. For most of the season and over that course where they just went through the Giants and the Dodgers and were terrible, I was dying inside like a small piece of me died. But now I realize that the season is over. They have crushed my soul. And I can actually live with the fact that they're terrible and things happen. And I take back my statement. All Tyler McGill. Let's talk about how it ruined your league.
We were talking about it in the chat yesterday. Mike and I then answered some questions about it. And he had like, I have the stat here. He had like 15 strikeouts over his past two starts. Yeah. I know the Cardinals are hot. I don't know. Maybe it was just a bad decision, but I streamed him. I went for it. He had burned me once before already. And it hurts. It hurts.
So the deal with McGill, and I agree for the most part, he's been very solid. But again, against that Giant start, for example, like that was when he was in the circle of trust. Then he gave the 7 runs against the Giants. And then I was like, okay, I gotta be careful with him. Then he was pretty decent against the Nationals in one, not that great against the Nationals in the other, good against the Yankees. I just feel like when we try to pick and choose when Tyler McGill is going to be decent, we lose, Tuma. He is not there. He is not the guy we can stream. We either throw him out there or we put him on our bench and we go from there. So make the choice right now, rest of season, bench or start.
I've already dropped him in this league and I wouldn't start him. I wouldn't start him rest of season.
All right. I'm probably throwing him out there because why else am I going to watch Mets games?
Christian feels my pain. He streamed him as well. Dan, have you watched any of the new Mets 30 for 30 on the 86 team that came out?
Don't be disappointed in me, Tuma. I have DVR'd it. I still have cable. I'm an old man. I've DVR'd the series or whatever it is. I have it set to record. So I know at least we're all four on already. I've DVR'd the first two at the very least. If it was.
Yeah, I think they've all four have aired now. I watched episode one last night and I was thinking of you during it. What a wild time. I feel like that is right up Joe Pizzapia's alley.
It's Joe's, like, right?
Yeah, the old school baseball and fans storming the field just looks so cool. Such a wild time. We'll never see anything like that again in pro sports.
And again, we joke because internally I'm very old, obviously, but actually I'm regular old, right? Like I'm 41. Joe's a little older than me. Joe actually appreciates. I mean, in 86, Tuma, I was asleep for game 6 and 7. Like I was six. So I oddly enough, like that piece of the Mets, which everybody loves, of course, last time they won the World Series, like that's meaningful to me, but it's not as meaningful to me, even a couple of year difference like it is between me and Joe, that makes all the difference. Like for me, when I get into it, it's like the 2000 Mets. Like that's the team that I really am just like totally in on. And then as we get forward, so I will watch it. I have DVR'd it. I haven't been able to do it yet. I mean, during the week, Friday is my night, Tuma. I'm like going nonstop all week. Friday night, I take off. That is when I will start to watch it.
The older I get, Friday nights have a different meaning, but they're still somehow my favorite night of the
yes, week. Yes, TGIF still. That's right, Tuma. You are living right. I love it.
Okay, let's get into some news from the Wednesday action in Major League Baseball. I want to start with Juan Soto, and there's not a ton, obviously, of fantasy advice to go with him. But my goodness, the tear he's been on since participating in that home run derby. He entered Wednesday hitting .358 with a .527 on base percentage since the All-Star break. That covers 241 plate appearances. Then he went 2 for 4 with another run and RBI last night. I know he started slow. He had a bit of a shoulder injury, but my goodness, he has just caught absolute fire like nothing. Honestly, it's pretty similar to 2021 Soto, actually.
Yeah, you know, this was Joe's guy and he dealt with the injury early on. But what we also kind of just, I feel like, gloss over is the dude has 9 steals on the year. Like You know too much. Steals, especially in Roto League, which I know you're starting sort of to get into a little more, they're gold. And when you're going to tell me that you're going to be one of the best hitters in baseball and you're going to throw in maybe double-digit steals, that's ridiculous. I mean, I assume, assuming that he has a shoulder fix in the offseason, that Fernando Tatis is going to go one, or and then Soto's probably going to go two, assuming that Acuna isn't 100% yet, right? I mean, Soto's the consensus number two pick next year, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I would think so. Definitely ahead of Vlad and Roto, just like you said, like the steals will make
difference. I don't know, Otani, I guess, you know, we can sort of think about, but I don't know, man. Just, you know, the fact is that he is incredible in every category. And the fact that he is like a, I don't know if he's a league winner in batting average, but I mean, batting average is very difficult to fill, as you know, in this time. I mean, even Otani, you know, is not somebody who helps you in that category. So I don't know, man. Soto's just a remarkable player in real life, a remarkable fantasy player, and he's like 10 years old. So it's going to be amazing for like the next decade plus.
Yeah, like you said, he works in any format as well with the combination of batting average and on base percentage. Someone who is still figuring it out but had a good night on Wednesday, Jesus Sanchez, who we've mentioned on this podcast earlier this week. He went two for four with two homers and four RBIs. He now has seven homers in his past 16 games. Don't get me wrong, this is still, he is still very much a work in progress as a hitter. But the reason we had talked about him earlier was because to start this week, he had three games against the Nationals. The Marlins are off today, Thursday, but then they have three against the Pirates. And then early next week, they have three more against the Nationals. So the matchups are there for all Marlins hitter, Sanchez included right now.
Yeah, Sanchez has 10 homers in 50 games. Like, that's great. And yet, wasn't yesterday's off lefty? Because wasn't it off a lefty?
At least one of them was. At least one
of
them was.
Yeah, I know, because Mayer gets very excited. I know he wants you to know too, whenever it is. Yeah, it's been good. Obviously, the strikeout rate needs to come down. Like, it's 31%, but that's more of a long-term thing. Like, we're talking about two more weeks with the matchups. Yeah, him and the Marlins, very exciting, man. He's looked good. I remember when the Mets were facing the Marlins, I was like, don't let him beat you. Don't let him beat you. So, yeah, this is great. Ride him for, you know, at least next week for sure. I'm sure he'll rank high in quick grades or whatever. And then long-term next year, I'm very excited about him.
Yeah, I think it's very dangerous over the course of a season to get too into the weeds with matchups with fantasy baseball. It's different than football in that sense. But with the truncated amount of time left, I have found myself looking at that more. You know, Mike and I talked about the Orioles schedule rest of season to get those hitters. And I know Coors Field has a lot of home games over the past 2 weeks. So I do think that it is worth at least serving as a tiebreaker for potential start sit decisions.
I think it's more than that, Brendan. I really do, just because, you know, projections in baseball mean so little over the course of a day-to-day sort of thing, right? Because it's baseball, man. I mean, we've seen crazy stuff happen on any given play, any given inning, any given day. So I am letting them, I'm not saying like if Juan Soto has a bad match, I'm like, I'd ever bench him or anything like that. But to me, especially, like I talk about it with Mike, I get his quick grades. I need to know, because I really do think that's more than a tiebreaker. That's like 60%, 70% of what matters at this point going forward.
Yep. So we will continue to do our best to provide listeners with that information. But again, if you're setting your own lineups and you're in a pinch, just look at those matchups. Finally, another big storyline from yesterday was Robbie Ray, 7 innings, 1 run, 13 strikeouts, coming through when it matters most for fantasy managers. He had 21 swing strikes in this one, and he's 233 strikeouts leads MLB. He has double-digit strikeouts in 5 of his past 6 starts. He is inching closer and closer to that Cy Young award.
I really love this. And I know we talk about it like every time he has a good start, man, but this is so great, because I admit, like, for years I have faded Robbie Ray. And I think it was last year that Mayer talked me into him or something like that, and he was terrible again. But this is fantastic to see, because Ray has such great stuff. And we've always thought that. And all he needed to do was to be able to cut down on the walks and really get it done. I hope he wins the Cy Young. I am going to be fascinated to see what happens with him next year, because there are going to be a lot of people like me, I guess, who have played fantasy baseball for a long time, since the 1800s, as your joke always goes, and are going to be a little reticent to this because it's only really been 1 year. But right now to my ballpark at like next year, where do you think he'll rank in your starting pitcher rankings?
Yeah, that's the thing. I think we almost have to bake in some regression. I want to say closer to the back end of the top 15. And that's probably honestly selling him pretty short. And that's just off the top of my head.
Yeah, I'm not going to hold you to it. Go ahead. Sorry.
But that, I'm kind of being a bit conservative with that. I'm sure, you know, he might rank higher initially. I think the other thing about him, though, is wherever he winds up, it's like it's not going to get much tougher. Like he's already done it in the AL East pitching in. It was like Dunedin and Buffalo and Toronto. So all those parks were, you know, very favored towards the offense.
You just correctly pronounced Dunedin, which kind of blew my mind. I think we should walk away right there. That is the thing. He is a free agent, right? He had a 1-year deal for $8 million. So maybe he stays in Toronto, but it's like, I don't really think that's going to matter that much, right? Because Ray, as you've said, basically, it doesn't get tougher than where he goes right now. It's just about whether or not you believe in the changes that he's made. And right now, it's hard not to, but we have also seen these phenomenal seasons randomly from pitchers and hitters throughout the years that turn out to be not repeatable. And I mean, he's entering his age 30 season next year. It's just going to be fat. I like look forward to diving into him in the offseason and basically throwing up my hands. But I agree with you, Tuma. I think like top 15 sounds correct, but probably outside the top 10, just because I won't be able to fully get, which means I'll never get him. Somebody will take him early, but I'm willing to lose out on him.
Nice one from Go Cards. The Angels will sign him 20 years, $1 billion, and he'll never win another game.
The Angels should sign him, to be fair. If the Angels go out this offseason and they sign another outfielder, and I realize that Trout is basically, he's probably missing the season at this point, but you know, the fact that Trout didn't play, if the Angels go out and they sign another like older outfielder or like utility infielder and ignore pitching again, I'm gonna lose it, because this is like the two greatest players of our generation right now, and they're just totally wasting it every year.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned it. I was about to get to it, but Joe Maddon did admit on Wednesday that it's unlikely Mike Trout returns this season. Very odd situation, because when he first suffered the calf injury, it didn't seem like a season ender. I remember them talking about like, oh, a little after the All-Star break or something like that. So,
yeah.
But if you did, you know, draft Trout in the first round, and that at the time of the injury, you didn't plan accordingly, didn't expect to be with him throughout the season, like kind of a silent killer for your team this year.
Absolutely. And look, this is a good one, Tuma. We talk about hamstrings and all sorts of soft tissue injuries. Calf injuries, those are the worst, man. They are very unpredictable. They're difficult to recover from. And I do think that fading injuries is a good idea, but I also think that we might have missed this because maybe we should have seen this coming. You listen to the way he talked about it, and it was like, oh, I felt terrible. Like, I mean, he was very much like, I can't remember the comments he made, but they were indicative of this being a really, really serious issue. Now, again, we're talking about like 4 months at this point. I can't remember even when he got injured, but maybe we can't see that. But yeah, the problem is, again, for like 2 of those months, at the very least, we were like, okay, can't wait for you to come back. And only recently has it been, oh gosh, we're going to get nothing from him. So another guy who the way fantasy managers feel about him next year is going to be questionable. For me, I'll be buying. Like, you know, I think if you value him as if you got to bake in some injury risk, and you got to bake in the fact that these stolen bases are probably gone. Given this a calf injury right now, like that's done, still incredibly valuable, but it'll be interesting to see how fantasy managers view him next year.
I will be pounding Mike Trout in the late first, if that is where his ADP settles. Some other injury news, Blake Snell is going on the IL with that adductor strain. There is a chance he misses the rest of the year. It's a huge bummer because he had just fully turned it around. And then I also wanted to note Byron Buxton, his stats since returning. He's hitting just .173 since returning in late August. He does have 4 homers. It was just someone who, you know, I had kind of forgotten about for a bit and looked up his numbers recently. But back in April, he looked like the best player in the world. And it's going to be another offseason of wondering what to do and what to make of Byron Buxton.
Yeah, I mean, I think the bottom line is if you could guarantee me a relatively healthy season from Byron Buxton. I don't mean you got to play 162 games, Tuma. I'm saying take your one little stint on the disabled list. Give me 140 games. I would buy at absolute full price. I think I'm not surprised that he is struggling necessarily, especially with the batting average, given the fact how much time he missed. This happens all the time, man. This is what it is hard to play baseball on your best day. It is really hard to play baseball when you basically can't do it for two and a half months. So I will probably continue to buy Byron Buxton even going forward. And I will be like, I'm buying you for 80 games where I'm going to get pretty solid production going forward. And that, by the way, is something where if you know that going in, Brendan, you can plan accordingly and build your team around it. So I really think that what we saw in the beginning of the season could be the real Byron Buxton if he could ever just stay healthy, which he can.
Yeah, when you combined what he was doing offensively with his defense, it literally made him one of the best players in baseball. Injuries do hurt your fantasy team, but it's better than hurting yourself grooming. And to make sure that that doesn't happen, you need to get the Lawnmower 4.0 from Manscaped. What makes this trimmer different than all the other trimmers? Well, there's a new multifunction on-off switch that it can engage a travel lock, which is created for people who like to travel. The optimized Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer is also waterproof, so you can groom in the shower and not have to worry about making a mess on the bathroom floor. Did I mention wireless charging? The Lawnmower 4.0's new wireless charging system uses electromagnetic induction, which can help battery length last longer. And listeners of Leading Off can get 20% off with free shipping by using the code LEADINGOFF at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping. Code LEADINGOFF at manscaped.com.
Really well done. Your transitions pull, your transitions are great, eh? Like, I'm so impressed.
I should pull the George Costanza when he crushes a meeting he's in early on and he just like gets up and walks out. And
all right, I'm out. Yes, that's exactly right. And way to make a Seinfeld reference, a show that undoubtedly aired before you were born, right?
Yes, it did. I do love Seinfeld. They're one of my
the best and unparalleled sitcom out there. Greatest show of all time is, in fact, Breaking Bad, which we can talk about another time, but that's fine. Don't do it, Tuma.
Some news and notes. JT Realmuto returned from his minor shoulder injury and ended up homering. Jesus Aguilar, it sounds like he could be out for the season. That stinks. He was like leading the National League in RBIs for a while. The Blue Jays are hopeful that Jose Berríos can make his next start after he left this most recent one with abdominal tightness. Willie Adames took grounders before Wednesday's game in Detroit. He could be back soon. Joe Adell was placed on the IL with a back injury. He's been striking out a lot less lately. Kind of I've always used the Byron Buxton comp for him, just a mega athletic, talented athlete, but he's still kind of figuring out some of the plate discipline. And you know, he's not Wander Franco. Wander Franco comes up and he just knows how to hit. Adell, he has all the tools, but he still just needs to figure it out. And then finally, Vidal Brujan stole his 40th base of the minor league season last year. He is going to be someone interesting to talk about for Roto Leagues next season.
Yeah, again, I'll do your favorite, joke or whatever it is, which is that there is a branch on the sacred timeline where Vidal Brujan has like 25 steals in the majors and has won fantasy managers their league. You and I are going to be all over him next year. I really can't make it. Mayor, be quiet. You're still trying to make Zach Plesac happen. Okay. We can make Vidal Brujan happen. It's fine.
Some pitching standouts from Wednesday. Matt Manning, 6 innings, 2 hits, 6 strikeouts against the Brewers. He's a young guy, but not even I care about this. John Lester, 6 innings, 2 runs, 7 strikeouts. Have you realized how good John Lester's been for the Cardinals since they got him?
No. Do you have it?
I don't have the exact stats.
Tuma, you can't tee that up and then be like, no.
It's not my fault. The leaderboards I was looking at weren't updating from last night's game this morning, but he's allowed 2 earned runs or less in 5 straight starts. And this was like an afterthought of the trade deadline, the Cardinals getting John Lester. I don't think he's actually fantasy relevant, but it's just like kind of that classic Cardinals devil magic, they call it.
Yeah, it's the Cardinals. I go Cards. There you go. But yeah, I mean, lately he's definitely been good. Since with the Cards overall, he has a 4.14 ERA and he is striking out 5 batters per 9 innings. It's been better lately. He's been hot. I thought you had numbers for me. You don't. You have disappointed me like you usually do. And he also has a 140 whip with the Cards. But look, right? This is the Cards. They trade for Jay Happ and they trade for John Lester. And now they're unstoppable. So darn magic.
the Cardinals can march into the wild card game against the Dodgers.
This is what I want.
With yes. their top three pitchers being 40-year-old Adam Wainwright, John Lester, and J.A. Happ. And
I mean, it's J, first of all. I know it says J.A., but it's pronounced J. What I really, really want is for John Lester to go out there and throw a no-hitter against Walker Buehler in the wild card game, and then for the Cardinals to just run and advance and win the whole thing. I wouldn't mind seeing that, especially for our guy, Go Cards, who is a loyal listener, who is here all the time, who is in Discord. So I got your back, Go Cards. I'm rooting for your Cardinals here.
Mike Mayer says 4.14 ERA since joining the Cardinals. Yes, but look at the last five starts. Here we go. 2.45.
There's Mayer. No, ERA. You got the wrong one. There it is.
For Lester in September.
Yeah, he's been hot. He's not somebody I will ever start in fantasy at this point, because that was like a decade ago, and I'm willing to roll with Tyler McGill if I have to over Lester.
Would you start either of Cal Quantrill, who pitched 6 1/3 innings, 3 runs, 4 strikeouts against the Twins, or Nestor Cortez of the Yankees, who went 6 1/3, 11 strikeouts against the Orioles? He has a 2.60 ERA for the season now.
I think they're both matchup, you know, I'd be willing to start them in the right matchup. Quantrill's been pretty solid overall. I know Mayer loves him because he pitches for the Cleveland baseball team. But I think both guys at this point, Tumar, are in the discussion of every time you were looking for a pitcher on any given week, on any given day. If they're in the right matchup, I think there's somebody you can throw out there.
Julio Urias picked up his MLB leading 18th win last night. This is another guy who the innings jump 168 in the third inning so far this season, and he's doing it with a 2.99 ERA and a 1.03 whip. Again, like, wins aren't something that we can typically predict outside of, you know, maybe playing for a good team, but they matter in fantasy. So this guy has been amazing this year, and he probably came at a really good value on draft day.
Absolutely. He was not somebody who I wanted to target, but they've just kind of let him go. And I think the difference between what we expected and what we have seen is that for the first time in forever, the Dodgers needed to like start a pitcher and let him go. They usually have so much depth. They are usually running away with the division. They have neither this year just because of the Trevor Bauer situation, the injury to Clayton Kershaw, the general sort of stuff, you know, even their backup guys like Tony Gonsolin haven't been able to stay healthy. They just had to let him go. And he's been amazing. I can't imagine they're happy about this too much. Like, I cannot imagine that they're happy. Like, we've said that he's already over 100 innings more than he pitched previously. He has never been a big innings guy. So I might have some small concerns going forward, like next year and everything like that, and a long-term issue, because I think they have to just let him go right now. And if they make a postseason run, unless the Cards knock him out in the first round, I'm going to be a little concerned for next year.
In that monologue, you just used the sentences "for the first time in
forever." I was waiting. Are you going to jump in for Frozen at that, right?
And isn't it? You said "let him go," which was also "let it go." So you almost went full blown Frozen.
Your little smirk, and I was like, "Yeah, that's from Frozen." So I feel like Tuma, it's like the one movie Tuma's seen, even though he doesn't have kids. That's like the type of thing that you and Katie sit there and watch, right, on a Friday night, and you're like, "Yeah, let's check it out. I love it."
We are Disney adults, but a big part of it is because a lot of my professional work experience has come in the YMCA and summer camps and everything. So my Disney knowledge is top notch.
You are going to be so ready when you have kids, Tuma. You're going to be like, all right, here's the list of the Disney movies that we're going through. It's going to be amazing.
Some hitting standouts. Andrew Benintendi went 5 for 5 with 4 RBIs. He was hitting .246 on August 14th. That's now up to .278. That might not sound huge, but this late in the season, that is really hard to do. He has a 7-game hitting streak with multiple hits in 5 of them and 4-plus hits in 3 of them. He has been on fire. Austin Hayes hit 2 more homers. Last night, he now has 6 for the month of September, and Willie Calhoun returned from the 60-day IL. He went 2 for 4. I just want to shout it out because next week the Rangers have 3 games at Yankee Stadium and then 4 against the Orioles, so the matchups are good. Benintendi, Hayes, Calhoun, do any of them jump out to you, or are they all just kind of similar streaming options?
I mean, I don't know whether or not we can absolutely rely on any of them. Calhoun is the guy who I think I probably have the least interest in. I love Willie Calhoun. I always draft him every year, but obviously he's dealt with injury, and given that he's just come back, we'll have to see. I think Benintendi, who went through a pretty hot period in the middle of the year before he got hurt, I think he's absolutely, if he's hot, you can rely on him. And Hayes is a guy who for years, in our league, in the league that you and Mayer and I are in, Hayes was like the guy, Tuma, like 4 years ago, who was like my $1 guy who I added because I was like ready for him to explode. So he's the type of guy who, unfortunately, I think I look for any signs to be like, okay, here it is. We're finally here. So I will probably be interested in Hayes for the rest of the season. But of the three, Calhoun's probably the guy I have the least interest in.
Wonky Penguin, this is why Tuma's generation doesn't like The Matrix. Too much angst, not enough animation.
Are you going to watch it, by the way? Like, I mean, you have an entire group of people here, your baseball family, who yells at you pretty much every day about the fact that you haven't seen The Matrix.
It's an off-season topic.
Okay, I'll allow it. But by the way, baseball fam, who is again in our Discord, fantasypros.com/chat, I think that we need to come up with 10 movies that Tuma has not seen because he's 12 and they can't be Disney, that he has to watch this off season and then provide us with a review. So that is everybody's. I should start a new channel in Discord, Tuma Movies, and then we should see where we go from there. Okay, let's do that.
10 movies. That's a lot. Okay.
10. You're going to watch 10 movies this offseason if you ever want to host this podcast again. Go ahead.
Okay. We will discuss. Salvador Perez hit his 44th homer. I'm monitoring this because the single season record for a catcher is 45 and he's almost there. Frank Schwindel hit his 8th homer in his past 15 games. It just doesn't stop. And Kyle Tucker is hitting .423 over his past 15 games. Another player who I just don't see how he's not a top 24 player next year.
I think he was. He borderline was this year. I remember I never worried about that slow start. Like, this was an elite prospect who everybody loved. Absolutely. Just, especially with the steals and the homers and the great lineup. Absolutely. You okay? Did you freeze?
Are you there? Yes.
I'm here. Oh, no. Are you freezing?
No, I'm good.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, I think we both stopped talking and thought the other one had froze. The home run leaderboard, as I'm looking at it now, this is incredible. We have Joe, he who shall not be named, Pisapia at the top, and one behind him is Dinger Dan Harris. You're on a heater with this, Dan. You're hotter than Andrew Benintendi right now.
This is the best I've ever been at anything in my life right now at this current home run pace. I don't have a great explanation other than I'm clearly a genius and just so incredibly plugged into baseball. But I have called a home run 5 days in a row, 7 over the last 8. I am up to 31, one behind Joe, who has Bryce Harper into perpetuity. The problem is I often want to take Harper and I can't just because it's Joe. Smalls up to 28 thanks to 2 home runs from Austin Hayes. You take Austin Hayes, you should get an extra one, in my opinion. Turf Durgeson up to 27 after getting a home run from friend of the program, Brandon Belt. We love it. So updated leaderboard, 1,168 homers. We will hit the 1,200 mark. I'm very excited about that. Joe leads with 32. I'm tied with Randy at 31. Helpless in Miami and Lawnmower Man 4.4, as well as Go Cards, has really been on a heater as well, up at 30. D. Gordon Liddy at 29. Derek from Texas, Ak, and Smalls at 28. Turf Durgeson at 27. Mayer is sitting there at 25. Wonky Penguin at 24. Cat Fox at 24. And the Clown Prince and Pygo at 23. I will say, Wonky, I mention you every time, Wonky, because you're an OG. But what has happened where she can't call home run calls anymore? I need more. I need more from that. Anyway, great home run time. I'm ready to make it 6 days in a row. I'm on fire. Let's go.
Wonky's home run magic died, so Dinger Dan Harris's can live. I think this would be so exciting if it came down to the final Sunday of the regular season and Dan and Joe were tied and Joe had Harper going and we would see Dan would take who's ever playing the Orioles. And
exactly, who's playing the Orioles. The problem is you realize, of course, that I am heavily invested in the Bryce Harper MVP bet, right? So like every time he hits a home run, I get excited because I think, ooh, here we go. We might win this bet. And then a part of me also dies at the same time because it's Joe.
DFS, Mike Mayer, wants to know, it's a really weird slate today. It's only four games, and the main slate is four games on FanDuel, and it starts with the Yankees-Orioles game at 5, and it's three games on DraftKings, starting with Cubs-Phillies at 6:05. So very strange MLB schedule today. That kind of makes it maybe a bit easier for us to zero in on who we want to go with at starting pitcher.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if we're talking about, I mean, look, I like Jordan Montgomery, although he won't get any run support whatsoever. He's not going to hurt you usually, and it's against Baltimore. He's 8,800 on FanDuel, but again, he's not on DraftKings here. Framber Valdez against Texas, and is it Glen Otto, right? Glen Otto's our boy. He's basically the same, 10-1 on FanDuel, 10-2 on DK, and Kyle Hendricks against Philadelphia. I don't even know who's starting for them. More of a GPP or secondary arm, 7,800 on FanDuel, 8,900 on DK. But if you want somebody safe, it's Framber Valdez.
Yeah, I think you just go with that. For game stacks, you can use the Astros against the aforementioned Glen Otto, and then the Rays against Tyler Alexander and the Tigers. Yep. Some lineup builders. Austin Hayes makes another appearance.
Yeah, for lineup builders, Hayes really is a guy who, again, we talked about it, he is very hot against Jordan Montgomery. Only 2,900 on DraftKings. Again, that is not available on FanDuel, pardon me. Yeah, it's not available on DraftKings. As we talked about, Ian Happ's been really hot against Philadelphia. Again, we don't even know who's starting for Philadelphia, but only 3,300 on FanDuel, 4,000 on DraftKings. Another guy, again, for the Yankees-Orioles game, not available on DraftKings, but on FanDuel, Joey Gallo. Up against Ellis is 3,100, and Yuli Gurriel against Glen Otto, 3,000 on FanDuel, 4,800 on DraftKings. But again, your pickings are slim here, so do what you got to do.
Again, a very strange schedule. If you play in daily lineup leagues, make sure to get those lineups set nice and early. Home run call of the night. Who are we going with, Dan?
We are going with Nelson Cruz, excuse me, against Tyler Alexander, against the lefty. I mean, it's not obviously the best park given that they are home, but you know, when you got the magic, baby, you can do what you want. Everything else be damned. So Nelson Cruz, the official Dan Harris, I don't know what the prop is on his home run call, but we should all be, you know, mildly invested in it just for fun.
I am not calling one out of protest, but I do think yesterday I said Jesus Sanchez who hit two. So
it doesn't credit. Count if you're not even going to put yourself in there. You don't want to help us get to 1,200?
Credit to me on that.
The worst human.
All right. There are movies to watch. There's more baseball to analyze. There's a never-ending list of prospects news to catch up on. And so we got to get to that all. We got to wrap up this show. For Dinger Dan Harris, we'll be monitoring Nelson Cruz possibly leaving the yard tonight. We'll be back on Friday. Tuma and Mayer will be here. Everyone, have a great rest of your day.
Not your worst, which is saying something.